day I wish upon a star and wake up where the clouds are far behind me. Where troubles melt like lemon drops away above the chimney tops, that's where you'll find me. Someday I wish upon a star and wake up where the clouds are far behind me. Where troubles melt like lemon drops away above the chimney tops, that's where you'll find me. Somewhere over the rainbow skies are blue, and the dreams that you dare to dream really do come true. If happy little bluebirds fly above the rainbow, why then so can I.
Zoe, that was beautiful. You are beautiful, and I thank you. I thank you for always saying yes. When I ask, Zoe, will you sing this? You're like, sure. And I love the hair. I remember that hair from years past on Pride Sundays. Thank you so much. I thought of a quote that our friend, Reverend Temple Hayes, said one time in an interview, that I am an original and unrepeatable creation of God. I am an original and unrepeatable creation of God, each and every one of us, and Zoe, especially you. Thank you. Wow. It is time to bring Reverend Chris DiGiorgio on, to bring him on. Chris, good morning.
Good morning. Am I on? Or am I muted?
You're on, and you haven't really said anything, and you're on.
Yes.
I welcome you with open arms today as your debut in speaking as an ordained Unity minister. And
I am so excited.
I'm so proud of you, because you've just got that determination. You've got that discipline. You've got the drive, and you took that passion in your heart and your calling, and you went on the fast track. And I know what it takes. And you went on the fast track. How long did it take you to get through Urban Ministerial School?
3.5 years.
Time flies. And it's so appropriate, because I hadn't thought of this really until just moments ago, that this is also your, I want to say, fifth anniversary.
Yes. 5 years of being a member of Unity of New York.
5 years ago, I remember when it was Pride Sunday, and you said, I've been looking for you guys. You found us. We said, I think it was Lewis that said, you want to march with us in the parade this afternoon? You're like, yeah, got my tennis shoes on. So yeah. I'm so glad that you showed up and that you stayed and that your ministry is just beginning. And I can't wait to hear what you've got to share today, because I know that people know that we're having a dialogue. But first, I really want to hear your story and what you have to share. So you ready to take it away?
I'm ready to take away, and thank you, Britt, and thank you, Unity of New York family. You know, I'm so grateful to be a member of this community and of Unity Pride, and this community has really embraced me over the last 5 years, and I am so grateful. And thank you for all the support you've given me in my ordination path. I'm so grateful.
Absolutely. It is reciprocal, and you are a blessing, so thank you.
Thank you. So today's talk is called Taking God Out of the Closet. God is Love. Today, we are celebrating the start of the modern gay rights movement. And when I talk about gay in this conversation, know that I'm talking about gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgendered, queer, and questioning as part of this discussion. Today, we mark the Stonewall riots and the courageous people, both men and women, both cisgendered and transgendered, who fought for the simple premise. We want to live our lives authentically, fully in our truth as we know it. So when we say, what we're really saying here is a change of consciousness in the society we live in. Most gay people are born with a family with a male parent and a female parent. The male role is defined, the female role is defined, and we're taught at a young age, this is what normal life looks like, and it's put in our consciousness. I want to speak of consciousness and the three facets of it. There's normal consciousness, which is something that is apparent right now, like I'm talking to you. That's in your conscious mind. There's subconscious, which is under the radar, so to speak. It's hidden away, but it can be brought up with some effort. And then there's unconscious, which is where it's deeply embedded in our consciousness. And it can only be brought up by trauma or therapy, generally speaking. So now picture an LGBTQ child born into this family unit of a male and a female. Jimmy wants to play with a doll. Sally wants to play with a toy truck. And Anthony wants to play dress up. The parents' reaction often is, this is not normal. This is not what a little boy or a little girl should be doing. And this is thrown into our subconscious or unconscious mind. Then we're taken to a church or other religious institution and are told that gay people are sinful and they will go to eternal damnation. Then they grow into their teenage years having these feelings that are different from their peers. And they start believing this stuff in their unconscious, conscious, or subconscious mind. And they start to believe that God doesn't love them because of what they're taught in their religious institutions. I had this mistaken belief because I was told in my upbringing and in my church, I was sinful and unworthy of God's love because I was a gay. And like many in my community, I bought into this. So when I decided to come out of the closet, I made the decision to put God in the closet. It was only fair. God, as I believed, did this. So God needed a timeout. And this belief goes on in the gay community. It's painful enough to come out of the closet. It's painful enough to see how society views us. We've been hurt. We buy into the false belief that God doesn't love us, and we can't process it. Part of this question is, if God created us in his in its own unique image, and this is a Judeo-Christian belief, then why does an LGBTQ person need to change at all? In short, we struggle with authenticity. And if you think this is only in the gay community, it's also in the heterosexual struggle with authenticity and the unrealistic expectations people have of us. As Diana Ross sings in her song, "It's My Turn," I've given up the truth for those I've tried to please. And with no more room for lies, for years I've seen my life in other people's eyes. This is, in a nutshell, what gay pride is. Yes, it's a fight for our rights, but it's a fight for our soul. It's a fight for our authenticity. For me personally, as I went along, I realized I missed God. And it was time to take God out of the closet. Over the next 20 years, I visited many spiritual teachers and a variety of traditions, and I started to change my beliefs and thoughts around God. And as I did, I changed my consciousness. I came to realize I had these beliefs and thoughts, and therefore people in my community, my gay community, have these same thoughts and beliefs. There needs to be a change in gay consciousness. And that was the start of my ministry. I want to share a parallel story of a different community that instructs us in the change of consciousness. It's the story of the founder of the Unity Urban Ministerial School, Reverend Ruth Mosley, an African-American trailblazer in the Unity movement. Reverend Ruth met a woman, a Black woman from Mississippi, who shared this, and I'm quoting from the Unity Urban Ministerial School and its history and its impact on urban ministry, and I quote, "When Blacks were forced to come to the United States as slaves, the men were used as studs, meaning these men's functions were to father babies without any possibility of support or caring for them. They were forced to work in the fields as slaves and sharecroppers. She was further taught that Black females were used as slaves, used as sex objects by white men, as nursemaids for white infants, and maids and housekeepers. According to this authority, this created the type of consciousness that caused many in the Black race to look down on other Blacks and look up to whites." Unquote. Reverend Ruth realized her ministry must address a change in consciousness. She drew from Isaiah 61, verse 1, and I'll say it from the New Revised Standard Version. "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me. He has sent me to bring good news to the oppressed, to bind up the brokenhearted, proclaim liberty to the captives, and release to the prisoners." Reverend Ruth used this Bible passage and her experience with the woman from Mississippi as her guidepost. Her first ministerial placement was as a youth and family minister, and she supervised 20 other teachers. And she did this in urban Detroit. One of the things Reverend Ruth did, and I want to quote from another book, The Book of Ruth by Vertel Allison Talaferro, which is Reverend Ruth Mosley's biography. Children who had been born in the ghetto, and that's all they knew, began repeating this affirmation, I am the Christ. But children who were called them derogatory names from the time they were able to walk knew they weren't, and it wasn't the Christ. One little boy objected firmly and loudly to the teachings, and this boy's name was Andre. And the teachers would say, you are the Christ. And Andre said, I am not. I am Andre Williams. So each time the teacher would continue to tell Andre, no, you are the Christ. Then one day, Andre ran to the church, to Reverend Ruth, and said, I know who I am. I know who I am. I am Andre the Christ. Years later, Andre was in the Vietnam War, and he came back after that war experience and said to Reverend Ruth, as the bullets were flying around me, I always affirmed I am the Christ. Reverend Ruth, in her ministry, changed that little boy and that young man's life by changing his thoughts. It brings me to my experience that serves as my guidepost for my ministry. I was deep in meditation one day, and I had a vision of Jesus. And Jesus picked up a stick with me and pointed to the river. And he said, do you see this river? This river is love. And he threw the stick into the river. He then picked up a stone and he said, do you see this stone? This stone is hate. And he threw the rock into the river. He said, do you see how the river envelops the stone? This is how love envelops hate. Jesus then grabs my hand and we run to the river and jump in. And as we're playing in the river, we see the disciples and Jesus says to me, now invite them in. The story of the stick and the stone, the visual, talks to us about how sticks and stones may break my bones, but names will never harm me, but names have harmed us. And these words separate the gay community from God and other communities from God. And there are people in the gay community that are still angry at God. And there needs to be a change of consciousness from God does not love us to God loves us. And that we can live our authentic lives. Pride tells us differently. We don't have to give up the truth. The way is what Reverend Ruth taught us and what Jesus taught us. There needs to be a change in consciousness, and it starts by changing the belief that God doesn't love us to God loves us. So right now, let's belt it out. God loves me, and I'll wait a second. This is why I am a Unity minister, because we can concentrate in conditioning our mind. Our mind often leads our heart. Little Andre from Reverend Ruth's congregation proves that. You need to keep saying, God loves me, or I am the Christ. It penetrates. It becomes your new truth. As I go on with my ministry, I remember the river of love and how the stone is still in the river. It didn't go anywhere. But as I dive in and I invite everyone else in, love is surely there. Jesus asked me to invite people into the river of love because God is love and God loves me. God loves me. This is the new thought that I carry with me. I've changed my beliefs, and now it is time for me to share it with my community. It's time to take God out of the closet.
Time to take God out of the closet. Thank you, Chris. Again, I'm so proud of you, grateful to you and for you. And that was powerful. That was really powerful. Thank you. And I love that you shared your dream that you had. What a beautiful insight. You know, the things that can come to us in dreams. Changing consciousness. And you're right. That's what it's all about. That's so what is happening right now. I want to share with everybody that I would say as recent as last night, but also as recent as this morning, Chris was wanting to have a better idea of what we might be talking about together after he shared that with you. And like, Spirit hasn't said, but at this point, I think most of you that join us on Sundays know that I journal, and I journal on Sunday mornings, and I have my conversation with God, and I want to share something with you that came to me this morning that was very insightful, something that hadn't dawned on me. I'll just share a piece of this. I wonder what year it was when it went from being referred to as just pride and not gay pride. I know that for me, it was in just the last few years that I thought it was really important to refer to it as pride and not gay pride. So it didn't seem so exclusive that it's pride for all. But because of what we're currently experiencing with Black Lives Matter, a renewed and a deeper awareness of systemic racism, I see how I missed the mark. But I also see how I did what I did then because it's what I knew to do. We keep seeing all over the place, all lives matter, for a really large contingency of people who really don't get it, who are still missing the mark. Of course, all lives matter. But in our current experience, nobody is saying only Black Lives Matter. The movement is Black Lives Matter because Black lives are the ones in danger. Someone sent me a cartoon just a couple of days ago. And these two people are talking, and one says, well, I think that all lives matter. We should care exactly equally at all times about everything. All houses matter. And the other person said, I agree, all houses do matter. But at the moment, the one on fire should get more attention. But by saying a burning house needs attention, aren't you saying that other houses don't matter? No. My house isn't on fire, but I have dry rot. Are you saying that it shouldn't be fixed? It should be fixed, but the fire is more pressing. Let's say I put a house fire out. But my house catches on fire. Aren't I entitled to water then? Of course you're entitled to water then, but it's not the one on fire right now. My house is near the one on fire. If I wet it down, embers won't catch. Sensible. That is completely outside the analogy. Here's what houses are anyway. Why do I gotta hose down his house for him? He died in the fire. I saw that and went. And we are here to share the truth, to support that shift in consciousness, that change in consciousness. And so Sarah's already pointed out that it was 50 years ago today, it was actually 51 years ago today, June 28, 1969, that the Stonewall Riots happened in the early hours of June 28th. when the police raided the Stonewall Inn bar in Greenwich Village. And so today we celebrate the 50th anniversary of Gay Pride and the march. And it was the first Gay Pride march in New York City in history. And it went 51 blocks from the Stonewall Inn in Greenwich Village all the way to Central Park. And you know that I'm a fan of acronyms. And last month I spoke about hope. And this morning, a quote from Harvey Milk came to me that said, hope will never be silent. That's so important. We're not here to be silent. And last month, the acronyms I was coming up with was hope, hold on, pain ends. And hold on, peace exists. And today I was thinking, hold on, progress exists. Because we've made so much progress, Chris, in our lifetime. What, do you mind me asking what year you were born?
1966.
Okay, you're the same age as my sister. So I was born in 1960. So the amount of progress in the last 50 years is really mind-boggling, because I had such a similar story to yours when I was growing up in the Methodist Church in the South in a small town in Central Florida. And I didn't dare want to tell anybody my big secret. And God was so important to me, but well, God, I was in turmoil for so long. I didn't even really come out. Talking about taking God out of the closet. I didn't really come out until my mid-30s, until I found unity and found that tribe that said, of course you're okay. You're not just okay, you're fabulous. And then that gave me support. It gave me hope. It gave me confidence to no longer care what anybody thought. And I've mentioned this in past prides, that when I reached that point, suddenly nobody else really seemed to care. After growing up with all the name calling and all the bullying, all the things, it's as if people couldn't see who I really was. You know, so I really appreciate you sharing that. And there's one more point I want to make about what came out of my journaling. And that is, I was looking to find out, speaking of Google, I was looking this morning to find out when straight pride parades started happening. Do you know that there are straight pride parades? They started happening back in the, I don't know if it's the 80s or 90s, but it was a backlash tactic. It was kind of the version of white supremacy to Black Lives Matter. And so, again, I say, hold on, progress exists, because we are proof of that. And all of this turmoil that we're in right now is changing things in ways that we do not yet know, but we can never go back. And I love it. There's no accident that these two things are going on simultaneously. And I love that Sarah shared that there's a march today going on that involves both. You mentioned, I made a note to myself, because you mentioned the song, It's My Turn. Icons, Diana Ross. And I didn't really hear what you said, but I know that you've mentioned that to me before in talking about this today. And I kind of, like, I wanted to find out from Sarah earlier about this march today. Can you, are you willing, I don't know if it's too personal, are you willing to talk about why that song, you said it was really important on your journey, but I don't know anything more than that. Would you be willing to share?
Well, let me just say it's quite interesting, and it was serendipity. And you know, I was deep in the closet back in 1985, and I bought my first realistic CD player from Radio Shack. And my first two CDs were Diana Ross's Greatest Hits and Madonna's Like a Virgin. If people don't get an understanding I was gay back then, I don't know what is. But as I kept listening to Diana Ross's Greatest Hits, a lot of those songs really resonated with the gay spiritual journey. And It's My Turn was probably, we think of It's I'm Coming Out or the theme from Mahogany as, you know, gay icon type of songs, or The Boss. But It's My Turn is one of those low heaters that really, if you listen to each and every line of that song. Now, the song was part of a soundtrack from a movie with the same title, and it was about a woman who broke up from her boyfriend and moved away. But each of those lines just speaks to the gay coming out experience in such an eloquent way that it's just like the first line just hits you. I've covered up my feelings in the name of love. Play it safe for a while. It was easy. I mean, if that doesn't talk about the coming out experience, I don't know what does. You know, and seeing my life through other people's eyes. And it just says, okay, it's a fight for authenticity. And one of the things, you know, I didn't mention in my talk, but one of these years I'll go into it more. I really believe Pride should be a national holiday. And why I say that is because it really talks about authenticity. And it's one of those spiritual concepts that doesn't get its true due. Part of the work we do is this fight for authenticity. Every time people will say to us, well, we think you should do this. And it's like, no, this is who I am. I want to live my life the way it was meant to be. Yeah. So Pride for me is a celebration of who I am, what God created, this uniqueness that is me, that is Britt, that is Sarah, that is Nellie, that is everyone in our community. And God loves us because God created us in its own authenticity. And that's something that I think, I hope everyone celebrates today and is mindful of, is what have I done to live my authentic life today? What is something I can take away today that I'm going to be true for myself?
Yeah, I love that. I support that.
You know,
again, I've never thought about that, about having this as a national holiday or international. For that, it's worldwide. I love that. Let's go on a crusade. Let's make it happen. We're living in times of speeded up change. And by the way, you probably just totally freaked Nellie out by mentioning her along with gay people. She's like, you're not gay. We love you, Nellie. But, you know, I love, you all know that my love of music and how important it is to me. And I love hearing music in a new way. And until you just said those lyrics, I've really never heard them. And so I have a treat for you, Chris. Zoe, with her blue hair, I hope, is going to share that song because I want to hear it in a new way right now. So let's have a Zoe.
I can cover up my feelings in the name of love, or play it safe for a while, that was easy. And if living for myself is what I'm guilty of, go on and sentence me, I'll still be free. It's my turn to see what I can see. I hope you'll understand. This time's just for me because it's my turn. With no apologies, I've given up the truth to those I've tried to please, but now it's my turn. If I don't have all the answers, at least I'll know I'll take my share of chances. Ain't no use in holding on when nothing stays the same. So I'll let it rain, 'cause the rain ain't gonna hurt me. And I'll let you go, though I know with no more room for lies. The years I've seen my life through someone else's eyes, but now it's my turn to turn and find my way. And if I should get lost, at least I'll know today it's my turn.
Oh my God. And Chris, thank you.
Thank you.
Completely new meaning to me. Zoe rocks. I couldn't wait to do that and to find out your story behind it, why it was so important to you. And now I get it. It's my turn. I don't have all the answers, but it's my turn to do what I can do. What's another one? Oh, I wrote it down. There ain't no use in holding on when nothing stays the same.
Yes.
And that's where we are. I hate to, I feel like we've got so much more to talk about. So let's do this again. Oh, wow. But thank you for all the insights, starting with It's My Turn and your stories and your wisdom. Again, I'm so proud of you, and I will close with another acronym. I didn't realize that it was an acronym. Do you know that PRIDE is an acronym?
No.
I did not either. Pride means personal rights in defense and education.
Okay.
Writing it down. Black lives matter. And yes, everyone, all lives matter. But we are putting out the fire on the house that is burning. And Chris, thank you. Thank you.
Yes, thank you.
Have a beautiful Pride Sunday, and I'll talk to you and see you again soon.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Well, Chris spoke earlier in his talk about the power of prayer and of silence. So wherever you are right now, let's get still and let's meditate.
I invite you to stop whatever you might be doing
and give your full, undivided attention to this present, now moment. Come to the edge of the water. Release your cares, your thoughts, your troubles. Rest a while. There is only one power and one presence in the universe and in and as my life, God, the force of love and wisdom that underlies all of existence. God is, I am. Allow these words to become a part of your in-breath and your out-breath. Breathing in, I am. Breathing out, God is. Breathing in, God is. Breathing out, I am. Breathing in, I am. Breathing out, God is. Breathing in, I am. Breathing out, God is.
There I am. God is, and where I stand, God is standing strong. Where I breathe, God is breathing life in and out and through me.
where I work. Love is my career. Here and where I play, God is playing for me. In and out of me. God is God.